wants us to move with him. And there's three words we want to base what Phil God wants to say to us this morning. And I spent some time with most of the praise and worship team last night. I believe God wants us to kind of take the theme of that this morning. And God is always building, he is always adding, and he is always increasing. In Matthew 16, Jesus said to Peter, you know, on this rock, on this revelation of Jesus being the Christ, I'm going to build my church. Then there's a lot in the New Testament about adding and about increase, about God moving and people getting added and the increase of the church, the increase of his government, his kingdom being extended. But God wants to add today, God wants to build today, and God wants to increase today on what he did yesterday, on what he did the day before. And so with God, there is always movement. There is never anything static going on. And if there's movement in God, there's always movement inside of us. And if there's movement in us, then the movement can't come from an experience or from experience, and it can't just come from knowledge. Movement with God comes from a daily vibrancy of the Spirit of God at work inside of your spirit. In 1 Timothy, Paul encourages Timothy, stir up the gift that is within you. Now, the gift was the Holy Spirit. When he says, when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, when the elders laid hands on you, but that stirring up the gift of the Spirit wasn't just stir up the Holy Spirit. It was also stir up the Holy Spirit so that the giftings that are placed in your life get released. For Timothy at that moment, Paul was referring to stir up the gift of the Holy Spirit in you so that when you preach, because he was relating it to his preaching, that you need to preach from your spirit, not just from knowledge or your own understanding or experience. So if you're going to lead, you've got to lead from your spirit. So everything comes from there. That stirring up of the Holy Spirit, stirring up of the freshness of what is inside of you. Now, praise and worship, we know is important, we know is key and everything. But I just feel God wants us to understand in a fresh way this morning some of what we're doing when we praise God and when we worship God. Because there are various things that define the spiritual strength and depth and vibrancy of a body of people. And everything that's going to strengthen a body of people has to come from the Spirit initially. And then we have to do things in terms of building that and growing that. Some of the things are obvious, like prayer strengthens and builds the body. The word, preaching of the word, the teaching of the word strengthens and edifies and builds the body. Relationships that are healthy in terms of covenant kind of lifestyle, loving one another, building each other up. All of that is part of strengthening the body. But there's one thing out of those things, the praise and worship, that can strengthen the spirit, the depth, the height, the width, the faith dynamic, the revelation of God, the impact of God touching somebody's life, that I believe is so key in the life of the church. Praise and worship can determine the spirit of the people. Praise and worship can determine the faith dynamic that is released in the people. Praise and worship, as we know, particularly in the worship sense, God can reveal himself and encounter with somebody, and their whole perspective of God can change in a moment when somebody has an encounter with God. And so praise and worship is key to the life and the dynamic of any group of people because it can define the strength and the depth and the power of what God is doing. Praise and worship also defines the headroom, the ceiling point. See, if we come in this morning and we have a kind of flat time, you know, sometimes you can have those meetings, can't you, where everybody's in there and everybody's having a go, but for some reason it's just flat and you're like, let's stop, go off and do something else, you know. But what happens? What do you feel? There's a low ceiling point. There's like a lid on the thing. And when there's just that spirit of praise or that spirit of worship, that dynamic of faith going on in the praise, in the worship, the ceiling in that, in the atmosphere in the place is lifted and anything becomes possible. There's no sense of restriction. There's no sense of limitation. Instead, there's that sense of freedom. There's that sense of possibility. There's that then opportunity for God to come and speak, to come and move, to come and flow, to come and invade the praises of his people. He says that, God inhabits the praises. He doesn't just come and sit there. He comes and invades. He comes and moves. So that praise and worship defines an environment, defines an atmosphere. It defines the ceiling point, the headroom, or it lifts it right off and opens up the possibilities for God to come and do things. So praise and worship is key in defining the strength and the depth and the vibrancy of the body. If you go to any church and the praise and worship is naff, you'll find, if we can use that word, it's not very good or it's not very strong. You'll find that there's a limit, there's a ceiling on the church in every area. If the dynamic of praise and worship is fairly flat or it's not going anywhere, you can preach the word, you can do all kinds of stuff, but there's no open heaven or there's no environment, there's no high ceiling point or no ceiling point for the word to then be preached into or for God to move into. So praise and worship breaks things open. The praise and worship throws things off. The praise and worship opens people's hearts and spirits up. I believe God wants us to have something fresh happening in our praise and worship. And that's a mixture of things, a mixture of what is in our spirits and how we express that. It's in the songs that we write. Everything has to come from our spirit. We had a great time last night with the worship team. And we chatted for a few minutes. But then we started to pray for different individuals. The drummers and the bass players, the guitarists, the keyboard players and the songwriters. And it was amazing the different things that God said in relation to the different instruments and what they do. Like with the, we just prayed for Steve initially. And I just felt we need to pray for him and just impart something into him and just something fresh come on him and everything in his life, but for his drumming. And as we were praying for him, various people shared, you know, the drums there, you know, they're an instrument for warfare. Every instrument, I'll maybe try and recap some of the things, but each instrument God sees as a weapon. And each weapon does something specific. And with that fresh understanding of the weapons of warfare, or the weapons of praise, or whatever they are, however you describe them, it puts a whole other light on what we do when we come together to praise God, to worship God. A whole other light on what happens as we're doing that. That scripture in Isaiah 68, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. You know, if we praise God with a fresh understanding of what is going on, then God arises, the enemy has to flee, because there's something of a dynamic of the spirit being released where the enemy cannot stay, cannot hang on. He has to be broken off people's lives, broken off situations, because people come into an environment where something of God is happening in a fresh way. And we pray for Steve, and the drums, I can't remember all the stuff. There wasn't so much. You know what it's like when you start praying for different people? The more you pray, the more words you start having. You know, a quick, let's pray for him and then for them. It all begins to get longer. But the drums were like this this weapon of warfare that goes out ahead. That's it. And it begins to cut through. It begins to create a momentum, which then other things begin to join into it. It's like a weapon of warfare, a weapon of strength, a weapon that begins to bring that movement and bring momentum. We pray for the bass players, and one of the things that was said was that with the bass players, that, you know, that kind of low sub sound, you know, if you're somewhere and you get that low bass, that sub sound, it moves something on the inside of you. There's like a resonance, like a low that moves everything, makes everything shake around it. And it was like, you know, for the bass players, because of the resonance and that, God wants to shake things as the bass players are playing, and the riffs that he gives, the rhythms, the grooves, and how it links with the drums. The bass and the drums together, they create a momentum. There's a vibe of the spirit, if you like, or a movement of the spirit. It shakes things and begins to, that low resonance that rumbles through, begins to affect people on the inside. Then the guitarist, there's more to it than that, but we prayed for the guitarist, and it was like somebody saw them like on a high point. Like the drums and the bass were down on the battlefield, just creating that momentum and that energy and that movement. And then there were like the guitarists up on a hill, like the cavalry or whatever, looking over on the situation. And as they played, it was like, you know, sometimes you see people play guitar, don't you? And they're like, you know, giving it all that, you know. And it was like, you know, the guitarists were like, you know, like machine guns in their hand. And as they're playing, it's like God was just speaking and releasing stuff because of the different sounds and the different kind of rhythms and everything that the guitarist can play. And it was like God speaking and God releasing his purposes. So as they joined in with the drums and the bass that were setting a momentum and giving that movement and giving that energy and that resonance that goes on, in comes the sound of something that begins to define things and begins to then release things and some colour and all that into what was going on. And then we prayed for the keyboard players, because at one point we had all this stuff for the bass players, the drummers and the guitarists, when we prayed for different groups, some people were sharing things that affected everybody. Nobody said anything about keyboards. So we got all the keyboard players in the middle and the guys, and we started to pray for them. And it was interesting because all the words that were shared to do with playing the keyboards or the stringed instrument, you know, that sort of thing, was that it's a key to unlock the presence of God. That it brings a... There were a couple of things. It brings a depth and a glue to all the sound that's going on. But also, it was the key to unlock the presence of God. That when the keyboards are played, there's a certain way in which the Holy Spirit can then be released to... There's some things that the guitars just cannot do when you're playing them. And there's a certain sound. There's certain things the guitars do that keyboards can't do. But what was coming across was, as the keyboard players are playing, it unlocks. It's like a key to unlock the presence of God. It was a key for people to encounter God and meet with God. And there were just various words like that, put in different ways, that were kind of expressed. And they release a colour as well. There's an expression. There was a greater expression from the keyboards of being able to capture different moods of the Holy Spirit. And how key that was. And when you begin to link those things together, you know, you get this all sorts of possibilities from that warfare advancing, very kind of strong with the drums and the bass and guitars kind of doing all sorts of things. And at that moment, the keyboards are probably filling in more and creating a depth and a glue to it all. And there's other times where it's going to go into more that just unlocking the presence of God and people encountering God, where the keyboards probably come in a bit more and the guitars, instead of taking a front seat of driving the thing, they begin to fill in and be colourful. And there's all kinds of ways that God wants to express himself through the praise and worship, through the music. And then we prayed for all the songwriters and we just got that were there and we got around them and prayed for them. And what was coming across was, if everything in our lives, with all the instruments and everything we do in terms of leading worship or we worship, everything's got to come from the Spirit. And that stirring up that gift within you, what came across in the songwriting thing was God wanted an intimacy with every person who's writing songs. And an intimacy to that great degree, like a husband and wife, when they make love, when they have sex together, that something is impregnated into the woman's womb. It's like a seed goes in, and that seed then comes to life, and out of her womb the baby is born. And how God wants that intimacy with all of us, but in this moment it was with people who write songs, so that he can put a seed of something inside that spirit, so that then what comes out is the seed of something of the Spirit that then has the anointing of God on it, because it's a seed from the Spirit in the first place. And that there wasn't an expectation for everybody to have to write, there wasn't an expectation for one person to have to write praise songs, worship songs, warfare songs. That if there's an impregnation of the Spirit that happens inside of somebody, then God's going to orchestrate the kind of song and sound that needs to come out. And for one, they might emphasize more on worship. For another, they might emphasize more on the real praise, adoration stuff, proclamation. For another, it might be the strength of warfare and all that kind of thing. But God wants to, not just in the songwriting, but in everything, that birthing or that rising up from our spirit, what is taking place. Just that freshness of the Holy Spirit in everything going on. And we had a great time where we opened up and just began to Steve started to play on the drums, the bass. We had two bass guitars. They joined in. Then about three or four guitars joining in, and it all just kind of built up. And people began to sing out prophetically and in different ways. And it was just a great time of just fresh release of some stuff. And for me, I you know, we have great praise and worship. We have a great time. But for me, I just sense God wants to take the lid off in a fresh way. And get us out of some grooves that we've got into. Just doing things a certain way, turning up, not just here, but me, you know, all of us. And just doing things a certain way. And I just believe God's wanting to say, come on, let's take the lid off and move in a fresh way. Some of the prophetic songs, it started off with Michelle Mackay just coming up, and the band were, I mean, they're fairly rocking, and she came up and just sang out this prophetic song about the kingdom of God being here right now to do something new. And then it kind of flowed through that sort of thing into other things. But one of the prophetic songs that came out, or the things that God was kind of singing out, was the whole thing about making space for me to move because I'm coming to invade or coming to take over. You know, give me space to kind of just invade. But you can't really describe something. When you try and describe it, it just sounds like, well, yeah, it sounds all right. But when you're there at that moment, it's what's happening at that moment. It's not, it is what's said, and it's what, but it's what's happening at that moment that you can't just put into words and try and crystallize to communicate to everybody. But it's, for us, it's that openness for God to do something fresh. And the praise and worship really does define the headroom, the atmosphere, the environment for something, for what follows. That's why we pretty much, most of the time, and in most church, most situations, unless the Holy Spirit says to do something else, pretty much you start with praise and worship. You know, in Acts 2:42, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the word, weren't they? To the fellowship, sharing of life, to prayer. And the third thing it says there, to the breaking of bread. Now, for me, the breaking of bread is always about worship. Because as soon as you begin to get around the bread and the wine, your focus is right on Jesus, on what he's done. On what he's done, what he's done 2,000 years ago, what it means today, and what it means for us in terms of living our life. And what you find, probably you do when you're having communion, you're thanking God, you're praising God, you're in awe of God, you're worshiping God because of his goodness. Because at that moment, you're thinking about what the cross was all about, what he went through in order for them to have what we have now. And I always associate that with worshiping God. And it, because it says here later on in that part, it says, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. So there are four things they were devoted to: word, prayer, lifestyle, fellowship, and the breaking of bread, to worship. Devoted to. Now, the word devoted means to be given over to. If you devote yourself to something, you give yourself over to it. And we are a worshiping people. We have a spirit of worship on us. We have a spirit of prayer in that sense. But I believe God wants to build it, add to it, and increase it. It's not saying that what we've got isn't any good, but God wants to build something more into it. He wants to add more. He wants to increase the dynamics and what is going on in that whole kind of arena. So let's stand up, shall we? You know, when we praise God, when we worship God, you know, some of the times I was saying to the guys last night, and that quite often in meetings, I don't sing all the songs to the words. And because for me, sometimes I'm just not even singing in tongues. But for me, I can't just stand there and sing a song. But for me, I always want whatever I'm doing to come from the depth of my being. Do you know what I mean? So when I do sing in tongues, I don't like the kind of general singing in tongues where it's all nice sounding. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah. There are those moments where there's just, if you like, call it a sweetness or a gentleness that is of the Spirit, because of the way the Holy Spirit is moving at that moment. And there's just that real intimacy of that you can hear, you know, going on. But sometimes, you know, you can look around in situations and you can see people just, it's all very gentle and not very strong. Now, being strong doesn't always mean loud. But sometimes it means loud. But there's a depth of something. The Spirit of God wants to go deeper into our life. And so we want to draw from the depth of what is inside of us. So when we worship, when you sing in tongues even, it's not just a gentle singing in tongues, because God wants to build your spirit. He wants to add to what is in there. He wants to increase what is there. And that doesn't happen just by the Holy Spirit coming upon you and decking you because he wants to do something. It comes because we have that spirit of worship and we want to put that into action, and we express, we declare, we proclaim, we worship, we sing. It's like that strength of spirit increases and gets added to. Because we worship from our spirit, we proclaim, we declare, we do whatever from our spirit. So there's an expression in that. There's a dynamic of something in it. There's a determination in it. There's a tenacity in it. There's a, you know, God, I'm not just going to sing something to you this morning. I want to worship you. I want to give to you. I want to bless you. I want to honor you. I want something to come from my spirit that just exalts you, honors you, glorifies you. What's your ring?
Yeah, come on.
Because it's not just determined. This is not just to do with a meeting. This is to do with the dynamic of the spirit in our lives, the dynamic of faith. It's about the headroom or the blowing off of any headroom for what God wants to do. You know, the songs we sing, they need to represent, they need to carry the spirit of who we are. So, If God is developing a strength of spirit and a strength in the things of the spirit, then the songs need to carry the strength of that spirit and the nature and the dynamic of that spirit. When we worship, when we express, whether we're praising or whether we're worshiping, the way in which we praise needs to carry that spirit of praise. It needs to carry that spirit of worship, you know, that strength in the spirit. Because what happens, God arises and his enemies are
scattered.
It's creating an environment for God to move, not just in a meeting, but in the life of who we are. Praise and worship blows the lid off things. And it opens lives up for God then to come and move in. Praise and worship doesn't do everything, but it blows things open, opens people's hearts up. Fresh revelation of God. God can encounter people, reveal himself in a moment that many, many words won't do. But at that moment, as you worship God, as you express from your heart, the Holy Spirit just suddenly opens up fresh revelation of Jesus in some way. And suddenly there's that impact on the inside of you as to an aspect of God that, or he adds or increases that revelation on an aspect of the nature or character of God, of who he is in some way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, in relation to the call that we have as Kingdom Faith, you know, God has obviously given us, or in terms of how he wants us to praise and worship, there's certain principles, certain things that he's put in place that we need to stick to, because for us, that's where the anointing is. So we've got to be true to who we are so that we stick to where the anointing is for us. And the anointing that God gives to us is in relation to the call that we have. And therefore, if we function and operate in that anointing in whatever area, in prayer as well as worship and all the different things, then that's where things are going to break through. That's where things will open up. Other people have an anointing to do what they do, but we need to function in the anointing, that apostolic grace and anointing that we have to break through the tip of the arrow thing, or, you know, being a gateway for heaven on earth, an earthing point for the things of God, all of that stuff. And when we stay true to that, That's where the life is. That's where the vibrance is. That's where the anointing is. That's where the release is. That's where the open heaven is. That's where the breakthroughs are. That's where the life is. That's where the power is. That's where the increase is. That's where the building is. That's where the addition is. In that, or the multiplication even.
That's it.
Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands for a minute. Just begin to just pray in the Spirit right now. Just stir.